Like, I love all my fans. Like, I love all the attention. But, like, I feel like I'm just in that phase where, like, I'm thinking of me. I would go to cyber cafes so much. My dad thought I was doing Yahoo. Like, I literally stole Kabasa's password just to, like, make music with Olamide. Because we were, like, the underdogs in the studio then. Now we go buy Diesel, all those people. Yeah, so...
What up, people? It's your favorite podcast man back again with another one. I'm Michael Scenario.
And I'm Murray Wagonkoya.
And this is Manisms, and we got a special guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is probably one of your favorite artists, and to some of you that don't know, maybe your favorite producer. But we have the man himself, Mr. Fields, in the building.
Gay.
How far now? Man?
I'm a deal. What's good, guys?
We deal.
Chilling.
Deal.
How are you doing? Chilling. Nice to have
finally,
you.
Finally, welcome to the pod.
Yes. Good to be here. Good to be here.
Bless. So, of course, you guys know how it is. Make sure you subscribe to all our audio platforms, channels. Make sure you search for us, Manisms Podcast. And we appreciate you guys that keep coming on board. Appreciate you for coming on. So, the way we usually start it is, obviously, we're going to talk, have some conversations, get to know you. But we like reading dilemmas and comments from people and actually getting our perspectives from it as males. Yeah. So we'll start off with the first one. I want to say the missus, or do you want to read it?
So let me start reading that. Okay, so this one says, this is from the missus.
Yeah.
This says, hi guys, I just started listening to your podcast while on vacay and I think it's great. Thank you.
God bless you.
I'm a 45-year-old woman, married woman, on her first solo vacation in 20 years. I got married 20 years ago, and I have only done family vacations since, which are really not vacations because I planned every single one and was making sure everyone was okay. Anyways, I am several miles away from my husband and kids, and this freedom is intoxicating. I just want to say well done to you guys. I just want to say well done to you guys. Please consider discussing monogamy and if it is realistic today. I now think it isn't. My marriage is open. For the first 10 years, he cheated with different women. After fighting, we make up and then he will promise not to do it again, only for it to happen again. It was annoying because I used to get toasted even while married, but I never cheated. One day, I asked him for an open marriage, which he very reluctantly agreed to. We laid down ground rules, and it's been fine. I have one or two sneaky links now. Nothing emotional, just physical. We have not fought since. We don't discuss our sticky links. We still have amazing sex. I say all this to say that I don't think a lot of men and women can be faithful 100% to one partner for life. Ask your audience. Other topics you can explore are finances, birth control. Well done. Okay, wow. So that was
there's
a lot
to unpack there.
There's a whole lot.
I think to get the gist of what she said, she was talking about, she doesn't feel a lot of couples can handle
monogamy.
And maybe sometimes exploring open marriages or having that discussion with your partner might make a healthier relationship. So what are our thoughts on it? And this is somebody that's now 40 plus.
Yeah.
So she's seen some things. You get what I'm saying? Mm. Me, I'm going to be answering still as a young dude right now saying, co possible.
So,
because I can't imagine, because not that we're perfect, but it's like if you find a girl you really like and want to commit to now, it's like I am leaving everybody for you right now. So I'm hoping to just focus on you. But I can't imagine you now coming up to me saying, babe, can we have an open relationship? Why?
So you know, I think the first thing I wanted to actually know is, was she pushed into seeing other people because her husband was cheating? Or because she by herself also didn't think she could be with somebody for 20 years plus? Because another thing is, if I'm faithful on my side, would my woman also want to see other people over time? And in which case, would I be open to an open marriage? But that's another discussion entirely.
What do you think? I mean, from what you've heard so far.
Bro.
Is she right?
This matter long ago. But what I think is, I think there's this fear now of like, lifelong partnership or lifelong commitment. Like,
I agree.
And it's looming, like it's everywhere now. Like, people are legit scared of commitment now and like taking that step to agree on like spending lifetime together. But I think it's a choice. I don't think it's law or it's a must. I just think it's a choice that you choose to be with one person for the rest of your life. And I also think that choice can change because someone down the line can choose to switch that. Because forever is a long time. Like, and there's a lot of dynamics in a relationship for us to just stick it to black and white. Like, there are a lot of gray areas. There's a lot of, like, agreements that needs to happen. So for me, I just believe, like, it's about the two people involved. Like, what is the agreement? How do we agree to continue this next phase of our lives together? Like, what are the, like she said, boundaries? What are the, you know, guidelines for this next phase? Like, how are we walking life? Because walking life together for life is, you have to carry the load with the person. You have to carry the baggage as well. Like, you have to understand how to actually guide each other through this shit, because it's a lot of shit, man. Forever long
one
guy,
thing
bro.
I was gonna say is that I feel for our generation it's harder, not that it's not possible, it's harder because obviously one, bro, you have social media to start with. It's not like the olden days where, you know, when they used to say uncles back then, they had one girlfriend here or there. It's whoever they met when they traveled.
Yes.
And you might write a letter to that person you met. Now you open up Insta, if you want from every country, you forget. In fact, you might not even be the one looking. They will come to you. And then also, I feel like social media also doesn't promote a lot of healthy relationships as much as they promote negative relationships. Mm. Like, there are a lot of couples that have been together 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. But you don't see them promoted as much as, these people don't break up. These people don't break up. These people don't break up.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it's still a choice. But I feel like they're just a lot more... Like, there's temptation in every generation, but there's just a lot more things we have to do.
Generation choke. We have to, like, we have to deal with a lot, man. We have to deal with... We're in the world of instant, man. Like, you can instant message somebody...
Agreed.
...across the globe. And that person, like, bro, like, you have the whole world at your fingertips now. So, like, it's a lot of, like, temptations. It's a lot of confusion as well. And, like, it's in human nature to want and to, you know, like... Because me, I actually think to be able to commit, there has to be a certain degree of taming of self. Mm-hmm. Like, because I believe, like, as humans, we are, like, higher animals. Like, the hormones, that's, like, instinct of self. Mm. Like, it's natural to, like, for those chemicals to, like, combine and for that feeling to arise. Like, it's natural for you to look at a girl and want.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You understand? But what happens after that is the choice. It's that choice always taking effect. You understand? That's where the taming comes in. So I believe, like, but it's just harder to tame these days.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like, it's just rapid fire at this point.
Let me ask you a question. It's crazy, now, man. Somebody, because we always like talking about ourselves, but we always like involving our guests. It's like, we always say for people like us now, like, we've always had access to women, and I'm sure you have too, like, in your field. But for somebody like you now that's now on a different level now, especially with this international stardom that you have, how is it now navigating it now? Like, you know, just moving about, but there's the access to women around the world. Like, how do you handle it? Or do you feel like it's added more pressure, especially with you growing?
To be honest, man, I don't really pay attention to it now. I'm not gonna lie. Like I love all my fans, like I love all the attention, but like I feel like I'm just in that phase where like I'm thinking of me in a sense. Like, so I'm not really like on the road like, oh, this babe, oh, that babe. Like, I'm just working. You understand?
Right. I mean, like, I hear that.
At this point, I'm just working. Because, bro, like, all this whole relationship thing can be long sometimes. Let's not lie. Like,
yeah.
And, like, at some point, you just want to catch a break first and just focus on, like, you.
And what your original.
You get, and just right, breathe. Yeah. Before you now enter the race again, you understand?
Yeah. So, anyways, I mean, so we can actually give proper advice. So I think open relationships—they have an open marriage now. Now, I respect the fact that they can sit down, have a discussion.
Bro, and I respect that.
So I respect that you can, because it's introspect. So you look at yourselves and be like, look, this is what's happening between us. Are we trying to remain married? And if yes, we have to come to an arrangement. Has to come to something that works for both of us. Now, one person might feel like they're on the losing end, but the losing end that you feel is that taming you're talking about now. You can't expect that the standards you were hoping, like the guy now, you think that, okay, you can be sleeping with other women, but your wife can't have a bit of that enjoyment you're having, you know? So you definitely want to come to a compromise that can work for the relationship, work for the family structure that you guys have in plan, but something will have to give. So now, like she said, they don't talk about their sneaky links. Those are the boundaries they created from themselves. They don't talk. I mean, it's a crazy dynamic, right? It's a crazy dynamic. I honestly don't see my marriage looking that way.
If she goes out and doesn't come back home at a certain time, just like, ah, she's at this bastard's
house. Do you understand?
I feel like there'll be a lot of mind fuck.
A lot. A lot.
Is that help?
Your mind would want to drive you crazy.
Because men, whether we want to admit, I won't even just say men. Human beings were selfish.
Yes.
In terms of, especially if you have a partner. That's why I don't want to say just men. Because women too are selfish with their own. But it's like, if that's supposed to be your person and you're now agree,
you know what I think? Here's my own hard pill to swallow. Every person knows their tolerance or should know their tolerance for long-term relationships. You should know if you think you can handle one person for a long time or not. Now, of course, should you expect the things that come over time, like 10 years? Of course not. You don't know what's going to expect in 10 years, but you know what tolerance you have for long-term relationships. You know how you mentioned that sometimes relationships can be long, you want to take a break. By virtue, you know how you are already. If you're courting a partner and you guys are getting to the marriage stage, to me, I feel like these are things that you guys should both discuss. That
but things
this
can
kind of
change,
person I am. No, that's what I said. I know. That's what I said. But you see, the premise of the marriage starts with what your tolerance is over time. Now, okay, well, you know, I'm the kind of person that over time I do feel like, you know, I need a break from it. Not that I don't love you, or not that I don't want to. I want a break from you as a person, but I need that time to collect myself. That's how I cope. People are very different. If your partner understands that, when you're getting to that coping point, they recognize it. They know that this is what he meant. This is okay. You know what? Let me find the best way I can do it such that I'm accommodating what his body wants while still being his person. Over time, nobody's going to tell you that you have to respect your wife in a way that, even if you want to see people outside, you're like, this woman understands me to the point that she even gives me the room to be myself. I can't do this. But that is you opening up to how you are with long term. People know that they can't last on long term, but they're like, okay, you know what? I still need a woman that will take care of my children and everything. So you keep her on one side. And you're not going about your daily life of taking your own break, your own version of what a break is by seeing other women. But if you kept her on one side, as opposed to if you told her that, oh, honestly, I can't even do long term. Either from the onset, you guys have an open relationship. I know that we can't do long term, but we both want children. We both want a family, but we have to be seen.
It's very easy to say on paper, but
that's what I'm
saying. Everything is easy to say.
Everything, even the ones that say that, make sure you are faithful. It's still easy on paper. The ones that say
it is in the experience.
Even we that saying don't marry, exactly. Even we that saying, you know what, stay out of marriage. It's also easy to see on paper because the person that saying stay out of marriage has now fallen in love, wants to marry the love of his life. So it's easy to say these things.
See, this is why we like you guys' comments and questions, because it gets us, you see, I said already, we don't start. Man. It's like, you have to start thinking. But thank you to whoever you were.
Me, I would respect like the ability to be able to talk and communicate and agree. Like, I think that's what it is about. Yeah. Like, just that, you know, companionship.
We were just talking about it, like, in our 20s now, like, we didn't know how to do these things, especially as Nigerian men. Like, nobody talks to us about it, and as much as you might have your parents as an example, you don't really see those intimate conversations with your parents. So in our 20s we're figuring out, but it's like like we were talking about in the other episode, saying it's just now in my 30s that I'm really understanding how to communicate with the woman, because like I said, if we're going to be together, there's no reason for me to lie to you. If anything, it's my own piece I'm working on. So it's like, can you handle it? Do you fit these boxes? If you can't, sorry madam, you can go. There's too many people around the world not to trust myself.
Exactly, yes.
But next question now, but thank you to whoever you are. Yeah. We appreciate you. Next one is Igwe the Screwdriver. These names you people come up with. Damn, urgent. Good afternoon, Menisms. I'm a big fan of your podcast. Thank you. You guys are like the male version of I Said What I Said, and I really enjoy listening to you guys. Based off your discussion on a previous episode, what are your boundaries in a situationship? Is it proper or nice or whatever you... for your home guy to later on a babe that you were just in a talking stage with? I'm going to say that again because that really confused me just now. Based on our discussions before about situationships, is it okay for your home guy to run a babe that you were just in a talking stage? Oh, your homeboy.
He said
home guy.
Yeah.
Is it okay for your homeboy to later run a babe that you were just in a talking stage with? You and the babe both liked each other at some point. You've put in effort and invested in some way, just like Michael described. And the said homeboy, like you guys are homies, real G's, was well aware of what was going on in the situationship. He even helped you do a thing or two based on the matter. But along the line now, he noticed one or two things with your babe and did not say anything. Eventually, things fell off between you and the babe, and when things were going south, it seemed like they got even closer. Let me stop here. Is it right, and what do you do about such friends, or do you just let things be? Because it was a situationship, but no, a situationship you wanted something more from, and everyone was well aware of the intention.
Instantly, that friend is a questionable friend.
Homeboy.
Instantly. Homeboy is not coming back home. Homeboy. Homeboy was waiting for the right time, right place. I'm sorry,
that
but...
Guy was scouting.
See, that guy was scouting. He was scouting.
You were basically doing scout reports for him to give him the info, and then from there...
So he knew all the things not to do, based on your mistakes. He's like, okay, so she didn't like it when you did this.
Right. But honestly, what do you guys... Let me... Because the reason I say this is, we always talk about, like, background, country background, mm-hmm. so... The joke always says, me, I'm a Yankee guy with some things I think about. So you guys are both grew up here from the start, right? What are your thoughts on that? Because what I learned was, when I first came to Nige, right, and even in my 20s, some of my guys would joke with me, laugh with me when I'm talking about babes. Like, if I'm talking to a babe, some guys be like, if you're just talking, it's free game now. You understand? So I want to know, in this kind of situation, what you guys thought? Like, if she's not your babe, do you still feel like it's free game? Or should there be rules and boundaries to it?
So for me, it's free game up until I start showing proper intention.
What is
proper intention is, see, there's no how. Your guys would always know your guys when know you start now. liking
your
it.
Your guys will know.
They always know.
Your guys will know. I mean,
what
I think
if you're the kind of guy
he runs some things for her, for him. Like, Abayomi, send this gift to this babe. Once your friend starts doing something for...
Some guy, it's like you have to know as your guy.
Yeah,
now.
He
you
knows. Know. The intention is
give me an example. Because like some guys, you know how, I'll be honest, I'll cast myself. Okay. I used to be that one that I'll say, oh, this girl's the one. A month later, this girl's the one.
Which is no, fair.
A month later,
yeah, but that's fair now. Yeah, that's fair. But then as your guy, like I know that that's happening. I will allow that happen. And I have to respect that friendship to not poach after. Like that's just...
So if I go with your scenario, right? Yeah. For what you're saying, right? You had like short-term relationships with people.
Yeah.
Now, no matter what, every time you say this is the one and nothing happens, there's still a gravity. Like guys still know the one that's... And he liked her, but that likes have no reach anything. They know how to categorize how you liked your girls.
But mm-hmm. how do you know? Because even you guys know, men will never, even your boys know, could tell you the whole thing about a woman.
And so, but at that point, if let's say, for example, you see a babe now and you're talking, you tell me you like everything, but the effort I'm seeing is normal, if you're not doing anything extra, based on maybe you didn't want to tell me what you're actually doing, I'm going to go with what you're providing for me. In which case, you didn't really like the babe based on what I can see. If I move to the babe, at that point, she's free game. If you now try to vex for me, I'll call you up like, but bro, I don't understand. This babe is a babe that you didn't even tell me anything, nothing. I just saw that you guys went on one or two dates and that's it. There was nothing. And from what I know, you didn't really talk about the babe. So there's no way you can tell me you like the babe. You at that point to be like, okay, fair. I guess I was trying to like hold back some stuff and he didn't even know how serious we were. But if it's a babe that you know how serious I am.
No matter the level of seriousness, bro.
If my guy has a babe
that he wants, I'm off.
Exactly. I agree.
That's it.
It's too close to home for me that I'll start messing with my mind and even our relationship.
He also mentioned that the guy is your guy. That's it. So, yeah, there are too many girls. Man. There are too many girls for you to have to. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Igwe. We appreciate you. Yeah. But
there's one more thing we have to touch on before we get into the real crux of the discussion. Which was, we had a discussion, on a previous episode.
Oh.
Yes, I said I was going to talk about it. So somebody sent a question in and this person was talking about, so they were a married couple, okay. Right? And the husband went on a work trip, kept the wife, open, transparent about everything that was going on, kept her in the loop and all that stuff. But he had told her about this office colleague of his that was always flirting with guys, Just as per husband-wife conversation now, just this is what happened at work, this babe. So when he got back from his trip, his wife went to pick him up at the airport. And then she now finally saw the babe in person. Baddie, according to her. So when they got back home, they were trying to have sex. Her body wasn't having it, right? No wala. Then he went to take a shower, asked her to join in. She said she's not joining in. And then when he comes out and, he's trying to still be all touchy-feely, she was like I think you should do an STD test. Now, he comes back I mean, there was a bit of a bridge
to just go backwards. He went on a work trip to South Africa and Ghana. Then after he came back, that's when she asked him. Then the guy left the house for days.
In your version.
And came back. That's your version. Here's the test.
Okay. Now that's his version. What I read was the guy went to run the test and came back with the results. The results came back days after.
He's not the result. He left.
You know why I say this? Mm-hmm. Because she said that they are married. So obviously it's not as if they live separate from each other, right? Yeah. Also, if he had gone for days, she would have also pointed out that that was a problem, because she closed it by saying, should she apologize for asking for the STD test?
By the way, they're young. Don't forget context. They're a young couple.
They're a young couple.
And 23.
She was a virgin before they got married. He wasn't. So he was having more sex than she was. So there's some premise, right? But the question now is, if you had a babe, you went on a work trip, everything, mm-hmm. and your babe, you came back, all that stuff, your babe now asks you, oh, by the way, sorry, let me close this. After he came back with the test was negative, but Oga was refusing to have sex. Well, he was giving excuses to not have sex with her, but he was doing other things. He would kiss her, he would make her, but when it's time for the sex itself, he won't. He will step back. That's the, I'm glad I closed that out. So if a babe, if your babe is, I'll ask you that side, but what we really wanted to know is, if your babe comes to you, you came back from a work trip and everything, you are very open with her, she knows everything that happened on your trip, no hiding, and then you get back, her body language is a bit weird, but maybe it's just like she's tired or whatever, and when you're trying to be cozy with her, she now goes, babe, I think you need to get an STD test done. How are you going to take that?
I will do it now.
Okay, would it offend you in any way?
No, it won't. Like, it's whatever would make her comfortable around me.
So
like,
you don't feel like she's questioning your trust?
Cause I mean, nah.
It go throw me off.
I feel like if I start thinking about like trust and all that, it would just be long. Just get the fucking test.
No,
like,
I said that.
I swear on this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Speak your mind. We were saying that if you know you've not done anything, right? You go do the test that same day. Yeah. Next day, say, oh, yeah, take. Mm-hmm. I go back small based off the thought. But in the end, we go have a conversation right then. If I said the guy left for days, then came back.
Inogri lived that for days.
For days.
Because I said the kind of days I date, if I tried it even one day, leave the house, I didn't see
Which
you.
Is why I'm like, I don't think that's possible that he would go for but days. But let's keep it on
that
shelf.
Kind of girl that's like, he was angry, let him be, because they're young.
Yeah, I get you, But yeah, that's what she said, that he left for days. But my own is, in my own case, of course, it's not like I'll fight to start up, we don't go talk again or anything, but I would definitely be thrown off. I would be like, I'm doing everything to win your trust. And the first thing you're thinking is, I probably cheated on you with this babe. And she didn't say that she found anything, right? Or she saw any evidence. And man, all I'm thinking is, the fact that you're even thinking this way is just means that you feel like, regardless of how open I am, you're still going to think I cheated on you. I mean, I'll get the test done. You see negative, but you see, after I get a negative, I'm just like, okay. So now that you believe with everything, maybe it's even what I've been telling you, I'll stop telling you things.
But you see how because he said clearly, it, though.
Me being open.
But you see how he said it, though. Like, if you at least address it then and there, you save the stress for the future, because you can.
And I agree. Fully.
Not fight if you now say.
Fully agree. Fully agree.
Like,
just
that. Like that. Is this what it'll take to make you feel comfortable, to make you be okay? Oh yeah, now.
By the way, you know, women though, even though you bring that
mind
test,
the mind is the mind.
Even though you bring that test self, women be like, I'm sure you went to go and get negative.
But you go know your woman. You go know your woman.
Knowing your woman is how you should know.
Bro, if you get to that level, then yeah.
But you see, knowing your woman is how you would even know she should know. Like, she can't even go in that direction at all. We're married though.
We went through that last episode. We just wanted to get your thought.
Yeah, but I mean, fair. I definitely fully agree.
We appreciate you.
Very unproblematic guy, by the way.
Obviously,
I don't like stress, bro.
You don't like stress.
Life. I'm here to enjoy life. Enough, why am I going to bring enough. Stress to fair myself? Do you understand? All
right, let me ask you a question now. So obviously, thank you for coming on the pod. There was one topic we wanted to talk to you about today, about transitioning.
Wait, before we even do, tell us a little more about you. I mean, because we can't assume all of our watchers.
Even the question I was going to say, to bring it to
so,
the start.
So like, give us a bit of who it feels, just something.
Phils is a very easygoing guy. No like stress.
We can see that now.
He just live life one day at a time. You know, believes in God, believes in love, although he's taking a break now because they don't show him Pepe. But we thank God.
Every good man goes through it.
Yeah, man. You know, cool dude, rock star, artist, you know, musician, poet, writer, painter. Yeah, just, you know, living life now. So that's who feels this.
Right. So even you saying that now, that was going to come to my question now. Today we wanted to talk about transitioning now. And for many people that have known you or may not have even known, you know, you started off in a different way where you were producing at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then even some of the talents of what you just said now, I'm sure that's something you've been doing for a while, but yeah. Now everything is coming to the light. So just speak on like your origin, just like how you got into this creative aspect of yourself in terms of the producing and sort of creating, doing artistry. How did you start there then? We'll go from.
Yeah, artistry for me started in church, man, because I'll be PK. My dad is a pastor. So I'll be in my dad's church just kicking it with all the instruments. You know, I'll be designing their handbills for all the crusades and all that. Writing the songs for the programs. At some point, I was a choir master at like 14, 15. So like it was a very musical like upbringing, especially with the church. The family wasn't musical, but like the church was like my playing ground. And I had brothers as well that I would follow to choir practice at a very, very young age. I'm talking like four-year-old, five-year-old.
Oh.
So I'll just sit down there and watch them just do their thing. I'll just soak it all in. So like that was where all that started for me. I'll be going to cyber cafes. That time, remember cyber cafes
yeah.
where you buy time.
Tickets, yeah.
Right, all the computers are there.
Bro. I would go to cyber cafes so much. My dad thought I was doing Yahoo. Bro, it was crazy, bro. I would beg my brothers to follow me so I could spend time. I would stay all night, bro. And I wasn't even doing anything but just learning about music or learning about painting or like just looking at this work, looking at that work, learning editing, learning like. So I would just soak all that in like growing up. That was literally my childhood. And then, you know, I met Idi Kabasa, Coda Tunes. Mm. He signed Nice, made Gongwaso, made that whole album. He signed Olamide first, Coded Tunes, made the Eniduro album. So I met Idi Kabasa and I met Olamide in Coded Tunes because I became an intern for Coded Tunes.
Okay.
That was the first time I had like a proper studio and a proper setup. So I started kicking it now and I was 14 at this time.
Mm.
How did your family, parents, how did they take, because you know, I imagine that every younger person now that's probably watching this is thinking there's so many decisions they want to make that they just can't tell their parents because parents will not understand. Imagine me now at the age of 15 that they want to go and be doing studio work, better go and face school, you know, how African parents can be. So how are you able to navigate that?
Bro, it was hard at first, bro, because my first show ever, was a show for my school. It was in a hotel, not too far from my house. My dad told me not to go, but I snuck out and I
there
went.
You go. Okay.
And I performed. And I came back to the craziest ass whooping, bro. The nastiest shit, bro.
Yeah.
So like my dad wasn't like at first he wasn't like in support.
Mm.
But like he knew I was amazing like at this shit. But like because of the background, it was just do it in the church and that's okay. You get me? But then, like, he became friends with an artist, Maye Hunter. Because Maye Hunter would come for, like, counseling and stuff to see my dad and all that. So, there was a day Maye Hunter was leaving and I just went to meet him. I was on my daddy now. Myself, I did produce. I had a CD of like 20 beats songs I had written. I just gave him the CD to just listen. He was one that played it for Idi Kabasa.
I was about to say, how did you get that link? Now it all makes sense. Okay.
And Idi Kabasa was like, let me see him.
Okay, so yeah, so back
so
to your internship.
First, he had to beg my dad's like, so based on the on like the friendship of Maye Hunter, and then my dad told me he saw a vision that God said like he should let me go, that he was gonna watch over me and nothing was gonna happen. So he was like, okay, you have my blessings, but you have to come back every Saturday for Sunday service
Fair
and
enough.
Do your duties Fair as a choir master.
Fair
so I'm like, okay, let's go.
Okay. And that's how it started.
Sign the agreement. We're outside.
Okay. So cool. So that's now the transition now from the church now into the music,
studio. Into the music,
studio, yeah. Now. So how was that? So just give us like an idea of what studio time was like then, because obviously it's changed from when like now you see everybody talking about Afrobeats is the biggest thing, so it's easy to relate. But back then, that was the time that it was really just was kicking off. Grounds. So how was that,
bro? It was rough, man. I'm never gonna lie, bro. But it was a lot of passion as well. Like we did it because we loved it. It wasn't really because of the money. It was just a group of people that really fucking love music and want to make this happen. Because we would even say back then that, bro, if we don't make a dime from this shit, we would still be doing, like, Olamide and I would tell ourselves that. You get me? Like, that was how much we loved making music. Like, I literally stole Kabasa's password just to, like, make music with Olamide. Because we were like the underdogs in the studio then. Now we're going to go buy Diesel, all those things. Yeah, so,
nice.
So we would contribute money, buy Diesel. I stole Baba's password, logged in. We would work overnight, save it inside one small flash drive, delete them from the system. Just started, you know, building the relationship like that and working like that. And like, look at what like it has grown to become.
Yeah, because I was going to say that now explains the bond between Phils and Olamide.
So back then, bro, like the music was, I mean, it still is, but then was like in the rough, man. Like it was, right now I think it has its pros and cons now with the technology age and like with, you know, platforms and social media. But back then it was on the streets.
It was
marketing on the streets. It was grassroots. It was beautiful too, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of us that lived through that era as well to watch the transition of Afrobeats from where it was to where it is now would always get to appreciate like its progress and the worldwide recognition, because then even Nigerians would be a little too shy to want to listen to Afrobeats themselves. I mean, we would listen to it within it, but you know, when you're without your foreign friend, you want to jam foreign jams.
Yeah.
That's how it used to be.
Even the radios wouldn't want to play.
That's how it used to be.
So I guess, I'm thinking of it from a different perspective, because I used to listen to it from the outside. So like before I came to Niger, I came at 17 going on 18, but you already had like P-Square, all these guys that were popping that. In America, like you said, there were those people that like, I won't listen. But if you were still Niger, you waited for your uncle and auntie that traveled, that came back, hey, I have some CDs from Nigeria, all those mixed CDs. That you'd be like, so this is how they're partying in Nigeria. Like, this is
Alaba, man. See, shout out to Alaba.
Alaba did the work.
The house I grew up in was literally a 20 naira Marua to Alaba. Like, I could trek to Alaba for my house. Like, Alaba, I was living in Alaba. I would go and get CDs of, like, I felt like Alaba did, like, played a very important role in showing the world to me,
right,
musically, because that's where I would get all the CDs, like jazz CDs. I would get Indian artists. Like, I'll just soak up shout out to Alaba.
ask a question now, continuing on this now. What was the big break that gave you guys the sign that, okay, this music thing is working? Because obviously you say names like Olamide, but I think the first song I heard from Olamide that when he started was that Eniduro. Do you remember?
Yes.
Eniduro, I know. So like, were you part of that, or when was your first big break as a producer that is like, this your jam is hitting, or like, I think we can actually do this thing?
Oh no, I wasn't part of Eniduro. I was part of the Rhapsody album, because that was my first placement. It was a song called I'm Going In, featuring Phils. But after I interned in Coded Tunes for a while, I left. Because Maye Hunter again had a friend that just built a studio and was looking for like a producer to, like, you know, mount all the gear and stuff. And then I jumped on it ASAP because now I have my own space. Remember, I would still now I had my own, and I was just young. I was like 15 going on 16 then. So I jumped on it ASAP, got into Ajawa Estates, started producing for like boys in the street, you know, young kid doing this thing. And then Olamide hit me up on Twitter, because his contract in Coded Tunes finished. So with Kabasa's blessing, he started his own thing. And I was like, yo, I'm starting this P called YBNL, man. Like, I miss working with you, man. Remember when we used to do it in this? You get me? Remember when we used to do it in Kolettos? Let's link up, man. So we linked up in Ajawo Estates, and that day, that was when we made First of All.
Oh, damn.
Wow. That same day.
That is so iconic.
The next day, and I was just 16, so it was wild. That song was crazy.
First of all,
I'm like, damn.
And you know the funny thing about the way I would say God works is that I'm sure when you guys are writing the lyrics, you're not writing the lyrics to feed with people that were doing introduction ceremonies.
No.
But then it just became what people started doing for introduction ceremonies. And, you know, I think, would you say that was your first break? Would you say that was the very first break?
Yes, that was,
Yeah, because
that was. Because then he said, Fields, the Mr. Producer, I bring the break back, for God's sake. Wow,
God. Yeah.
What's the creative process like now for you now as a producer? Is it that you're actually just doing, like, for people that don't know, are you doing just the beats? Are you actually writing the lyrics with them?
Bro, my flow? Line, everything, bro. Like it's a collab, and that's how it is with almost all the songs that we make. Like, it's a collab between me and the artist. Like, it's, oh, try this melody, oh, not change this word to that word, or like move this there. Like, it's whatever makes the music the music. You understand? That's
something has always intrigued me, and it's your catchphrases. So I know it first started with Fields, Mr. Producer.
Yeah.
Then what was the next one? Was the next one the rhythm and Cool and Young?
There's Fields, Mr. Producer. There's Fields, Mr. Producer. There's rhythm and Cool and Young.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's we. Yeah.
So, what was the inspiration? Because, you know, most producers will just stick to the one. Don Jazzy will still do his Don Jazzy again till now, right? So, but what would you say was inspiring stuff like that? Did you think it had impact on the music that was being played, or that was just you putting your thing out?
It had impact on the music. Like, not all the time, but I try to be intentional with how I move.
Mm. Right.
Even if anybody realizes it or not.
Okay.
You get me?
Okay.
So, like, those tags signify, like, it's changing era.
I had a feeling.
Musically and sonically.
Because even the sound was different.
Intentionality to, like, the growth each time is...
Exactly. Because the resound is the laughter, tears, and goosebumps.
It's the Apollos.
It's the Now sound.
Right.
It's the, you know, YBN Mafia album. Like, if you go back and, like, check it, you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. So that was my theory. Because when I hear Fizz with the Producer, I already mark it to an era.
To an era, exactly.
So when I hear... In fact, there are certain kinds of songs I already know, kind of artists, collabs that I already know are falling within that range and era. But it was so fascinating. But I just thought, there's no way that this is really... Well. So hearing this now is very fascinating.
When you saying that now is bringing me back, like, personally to when I met you. Because, you know, I didn't know... Because when I met... You know, because a lot of stuff I said, I learned about Nigeria late. So when I met him, we met through one of our guys, Donner One. So he's just like, yo, this guy's a producer. I'm just like, but he's cool. He's like, yeah, he's cool people. But he's like, you know, he's a big producer. I'm just like, yeah, fair now. Then it was now later that he's like, no, go and listen to the songs again. Exactly. Not knowing that my favorite songs were
him. Right on there.
Then it was now when you... I think then, next question, I was like, even after that, it's funny, right after that is when you now really transition to the artistry, like, independently, because, correct me wrong, not your first single, but the song that really made everyone know was Finesse.
Finesse was after.
So, talk about that transition now. You've had your success as a producer, but now it's like, I'm putting myself out there as an artist now, look at the result, boom.
Yo, man, like, for me, I feel like the switch, like, happened during COVID.
COVID opened so many doors for everybody.
Bro, COVID woke me up, man. COVID was like, guy, I think you now. Do you understand? Because, like, I caught COVID and it was crazy. So, like, I just started thinking about it. I'm like, so all these things I know how to do now because I'm thinking of people's opinions, or because I'm scared, or because I'm... That's how I'll just die and I'll just carry everything with me, like... That's not fair, man. And then, like, this phrase kept, like, ringing in my head, die empty. Like, you have to die empty regardless. Like, so after I got through that, I just promised myself that I would never hold back on every single steeze that I have. Like, I would always just, regardless of who is paying attention, who loves it, who hates it, who hears it, who doesn't, I would just do. And then after COVID, I did the Hear Me Out EP, that banged. I did finesse after that, and bro, God is good, man. Life is a movie. Life is a movie.
Nah, if you actually watch your entire transition story, it's crazy. You know, and I think not just the music or the quality of production that has been done, it's even the, I'll call it philanthropy, because even the movement of, so I was at, I think it was in December or January, I was at the Stanbic IBTC event that you did at that, that event at Tiny Cathay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you call guys on stage, you have your joy beat.
I love that.
So you see, it wasn't just the music anymore at that point. And that's why I said it's philanthropy. It was, you call, it's almost like, I'm now hearing your story, I can understand, you know, you're seeing these young guys, you're saying, look, this was me at some point, right?
This was me, bro. You know, like, I was you. I was in the studio sleeping.
And
bro,
so literally on stage, crazy. Right there, he called guys up. He was like, you know what? I have this new beat. That's Joy. I have this new beat. I'm going to play Joy. You come and freestyle on it. You come and sing on it. Just show me your talent. And then he picked, I think he picked two guys.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know what? Let's develop this. I'm sorry, but how many artists actually just say in this random crowd, let me pick one person. Let's just do something, right? Let's and you know, now that I hear the story, it makes sense. It makes so much sense.
I feel like, and you're very, it shows that you're very intentional with your music, because even the way, like you say, you perform or you showcase and even market your songs is very unique. So how do you come up with these different ideas to just say, like, I want to stand out different than all these other artists that is just drop song, label puts this, like, how do you come up? What's your creative process like?
Man, I don't really know how to define it. I guess I'm just, I just try to think different. And I always believe there's always another way to attack a situation. Like, I don't like doing the same thing everyone else does. And I feel like that forces me to try
new, different routes.
New routes. And like, don't get me wrong, it's a battle up here. Like, it's like, I'm not going to sit down here and act like I have it all figured out. You understand? I'm still trying to figure it out. But like, I'm just trying to fail faster so I can hit the bullseye. So I'm just doing like whatever comes. Like, I'm just trying to be creative about it. I'm just trying to find the next way to try something new.
Right.
I'm trying a new way to attack it. Oh yes, we have to make content, but what's the new style of content I can make? Or we have to make music, but what's the new way to make that? Like, how do I stand out in this? Because it's a deep sea, man.
It is a deep sea. So, you're saying this now. Would you say that you see yourself at parallels with someone like a Kanye West? Because if you look at Kanye West, right? So again, I'll keep saying that my favorite version of Kanye West was the college dropouts, late registration, graduation. He was in his production bag.
Yeah, that bag was hard.
You literally, you hear, and he has his sound. If you're someone who likes music, you would identify a Kanye sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he, you know, and a lot of people didn't even know he was producing, you know, but he was that much of a good artist that you wouldn't even see that, you know, he was so intentional about the sound that apart from just the vocals or the rap, he would put so much into the sound, even the, like, you know, when you mentioned collabs, that you work together, tweak some things about the person's vocals, say something about the lyrics so that it works holistically as a sound. Mm-hmm. Would you say you tapped a bit of what Kanye was working on or what Kanye was on with your kind of philosophy around your music?
He's one of my inspirations.
Okay.
But I didn't really realize how much our lives were actually almost similar, or our journey was actually almost similar until I saw the Genius documentary.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh shit. Like, I can see him. Like, I can understand him now. Like, you get me? Like, he spazzes out the same way I spazz out too sometimes. Like, you get me? And like, and his music has always been one of my bedrocks of like inspiration. Right. And so like, Kanye is a yes.
Okay, would you say that, I have so many questions because I'm always someone who's, I mean, regarding fashion, right? Because we're going to talk about that. Clearly your statement changed. I don't want to say it's right around the time you started to do actual music, artistry. That is when you decided to come forward as an artist, as opposed to just a producer, because I guess we didn't really see you so much when you were in the background doing production. Yeah. So we can't really see.
I was hating.
So we can't really say that your fashion changed. But I mean, looking at it now, you can definitely easily say you're one of the most fashionable artists out there, because there's intention.
Thank you.
There's
thank you very much.
There's the excitement of not knowing what to expect with your fashion. So would you say that that's something that's always been, or as you came out, you were like, that was something you also needed to work on intentionally, because you mentioned that you didn't want to care much more about what people said as opposed to what you really want. So
Man, bro. I just stopped caring, man. Like, I just, because I've always like wanted to speak through fashion as well, but I was just worried about.
Bro, how
opinion paralyzes someone.
It does.
Give opinion power.
You're saying this
bro.
to a podcast.
It paralyzes your whole being.
I was just laughing because you were saying something before, and that's why I was laughing a lot, because I was like, I would never guess this is you. This is your authentic self, like, and you have so much creativity in you, right? But then I can understand from the time of when you're a producer being in the background and all, like, I can only imagine, like, did you ever think some days, even like how you said now, I can do this from COVID before, like, you always have those thoughts, I can do this. And it built up to a point that now you're at the point that no matter what, you're just flooding it out continuously.
No, bro, it is a daily battle, though. Bro, it is a daily battle to remain that way. Like, and also it's help, because even with the fashion, bro, I've had like help like with it, like I've had my creative director, I've had my stylist, like I've learned from people. You understand? Because it's a daily, you can't swim in this water alone. You understand? Like, you will just drown. Like,
if you're actually a real creative, you're true, you're going to that fight every day. Even if
every
you're
day.
Success or that,
bro,
every
you're going to keep
every
fighting
day.
To remain, because it has to be endless. It has to, that tenacity, that drive has to be daily. Like, you have to create daily. And then as a creative, you want to chill sometimes, but there's really no space
to
chill, because even while you are chilling, your mind is not chilling.
It's racing.
You are just racing. Yeah, bro.
So let me
say this thing. Sorry, that I was talking to somebody recently and he said that, bro, you're always looking like your head just did. I said, sometimes I even want to rest from it. I don't want to think for anything. But my brain will just keep. Okay, so you remember that design, though? Don't forget, though, you're already resting. Think about it. Okay, remember that idea you had.
Bro,
think about
have
it.
Have you ever rested and felt guilty?
That's all the time.
Me. I feel that
every
all the time.
Time.
I'm like, why am I guilty?
I've done my work now.
But
I've delivered.
You know what? Somebody gave me some great advice recently that helped me. And it's like, even if you're resting, sometimes like you're thinking of what's next. But sometimes it's even good to just look back on what you've done
back
and say, look at how I've, not even that you're looking back saying I did this, just the growth in terms of what's you're chilling now and all that, but look at where you were last year, look at where you are today. Ease your mind, patience, but time, because of time, one, I have like two more questions. The last one is, now you have a collab with, I would say, one of my goats, Usher. First off, how did that come about? Secondly, how big has that been for you? I don't know the influence Usher has had on you musically, because we've all listened to his music growing up, and it's like, now you're working with Usher. So how did that come about, and how has that feeling been for you working with one of the greats as Usher?
Man, it's a movie, I can't even lie. Life is a movie, man. Like, first, I'm grateful to have even experienced that, and to have, you know, just been trusted with his talent. You know when they put talent in front of you and they like craft it? I swear, that's how I saw that session. I'm like,
wow.
Let me tell Usher, do this one. Sing this one. Carry this one. And then produce and then write. And bro, it's a movie, man. And then like, shout out to LA Reid, because he like, I met LA in LA. And you know, he sat me down. He loved Finesse.
Okay.
So he sat me down. We spoke for a bit. And then he said they were working on an album for Usher. And I'm like, yeah, get me one of the studios. Let me try something. And then I made Coming Home. That's the one with Burna Boy. Wrote that. Played it for them. But I already had Ruin like a year before.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I'd gone to South Africa to make it with Manana, my friend Manana in Saudi. Because Ruin was, Now breakfast inspired. I'm sure I'm making.
Wow. Jeez. Now wait.
Yeah, there's a content about it on my Instagram called Letter to My Ex.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, that aside, I don't want to get into that.
That's okay.
Let's not open.
That's
fair. It don't pass.
But I wrote that song, you know, recorded that a year before that, and I told LA that this song I think will be crazy for the album.
Yeah.
So I played Ruin. And everybody just went crazy. Usher cuts it in Vegas. And bro, it's just been crazy ever since, man. Like, it's like when I think God is done, God just opens it. He just tears the roof and just, there's more. It's crazy.
All right. I mean, this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say this has been amazing. Like, it's, if we leave us again, we'll keep talking.
Yeah,
we'll
but the chance is going shy. Yeah, no, I love it.
Obviously, well done to all you've done. Honestly, because we've seen the growth from out here. It's crazy. It's big. Keep doing what you're doing.
You know, one of my first performances for Finesse was out that house party that you did.
Oh, look at that.
Full circle moment.
Do you know what's funny? When you said that, the light bulb just came. Wait, are you forgetting? Do you know what? In fact, you just reminded me of, I have to say this quick story now that you're here. So, what's funny is when this guy made Finesse, this guy called, do you remember?
I called you. This guy called me.
TikTok. Said, "My wife, I have this new song. Like, yo, I don't know how to put it on TikTok." That's why I said, when you were saying this creative stuff, I'm like, is this guy being serious? Like, yo, how do I put it on TikTok? And I heard it. I'm like, guy, go and post it. Go and post it. I don't know how you're going to do it. Go and post it. Then this guy, now, your first video. Wow, flashbacks, yo. It's crazy how time has gone. Because I remember the first video you posted was like a black and white video. White, you guys were in the video, studio. Yeah. So as soon as I heard, I was like, this is the jam. A week later, I have a house party now. This guy comes, please, everybody's going crazy.
I think
crazy.
I was there, actually.
Then remember, we're supposed to do something the day after, but then you now flew to London.
Yeah, for the O2 show.
Bruh.
Bro, because I got my visa that morning, so I couldn't
full circle moment. That's why I said, when you've been saying this creative stuff, I'm just like, this can't be. God is good.
Well done, man. Yeah. So, one last personal question, though. If you could pick an artist to work with now, based on the glossary of artists you now have, I mean, you are now worldwide. There's now no cap anymore. Mm-hmm. If you could pick and say, this person, I've always wanted this, who would it be?
Rema.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I think Rema and I can dictate the future.
That is strong.
Yeah. Rema, if you're hearing this.
I would really love to talk, are we talking like, you
can shoot the short test.
If you're listening, it's going. No worries.
Are we talking full album?
No, I mean,
or just something. I'm open. Okay. Okay. I just think
that combination will create something that can change something.
I can't wait to look. I'm already here on Menism's. Rema, if you're hearing this, we need the collab with Fuse. However you do it, we're ready for it.
Yes.
But thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you. Guys, this is Menism's. Make sure you still subscribe to all our audio platforms on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Go to YouTube Menism's podcast, and we will see you again next time. I'm Michael Shonario.
And I'm Murray Wagunkoya.
And this is Menism's.